The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, March 13th, 2007. I'm Jay Pierce. In a few moments, we'll take a look at the commodity markets with John Hester of L&M Commodities, Newmarket, Indiana. Later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along with agricultural news, and producers have until Thursday to make crop insurance decisions. Todd Gleason will be by with insurance assistance from the Farm Doc website. It's all on the Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
And here's how things wrapped up on the Kansas City wheat market. The March contract closed at $5 even. That was down two. May, 491 and a half. That was down 5 3/4. March wheat on the Chicago Board of Trade, 456, down four. May at 466 and a half, down 4 1/4. And July at 479 3/4, down 3 1/2. May corn was at 406 3/4, down 2 1/2. July at 417 3/4, down 2. December also down 2 at $4.75. March soybeans, 744, down 8 1/4. May, 755 1/2, down 9 1/2. And November closed at 794 1/2, down 9 1/2 as well. March soybean meal, 216.40, down 190. March oil at 30.15, down 20. Feeder cattle on the Mercantile Exchange for March, 105.65, down 12 1/2. April live cattle at 100.100, and that was down 192.50. And live cattle at 97.40, down 102.50 as well. Lean hogs at 67.45. Closed down 50.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Yonning Civic Center in Kokomo, Indiana, for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's 6 o'clock Central. Panelists for the meeting include Mike Zuzalo and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Steve Erdman of EFG in Chicago, and Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company. That's at the Yonning Civic Center this evening in Kokomo, Indiana, the meeting getting underway at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We hope to see you there.
And joining us now for a look at the futures markets, John Hester of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon to you over in Illinois.
Well,
nice day here.
It's a beautiful day here. I was going to ask you, how are things over there?
Oh, it's probably pushing 70 degrees out, light breeze, sunshine. We haven't seen much of that for a long time.
It's nice. 75 our temperature right now, and thoughts are turning toward getting outside and getting things done, I guess.
Yeah. Go home and rake twigs up this afternoon or something.
That's a good plan. Finally got all the snow and ice melted out of our yard. And
I'm sure it's all gone here, too. Or might just be a little left in some big piles that was pushed up.
Some of the big piles and some of the shadier areas on the north and northwest sides. But other than that, we're making some progress.
Yes.
What about the prices today? See a lot of negative numbers on the closes.
Yeah, I think there was no big earth-shattering news to cause the market to move either direction. There's just no new information. I think there was a lot of small things that happened today or several different things that happened. Crude oil was up most of the day. About the time that the grain markets closed, 45 minutes before, crude oil sold off. The stock market continually got weaker during the day. and then we're all negatives to the grain market to a certain extent. In the corn was down most of the day. It was down 7 or 8 cents at one time, and when that happened, beans were up. I feel like the corn may have went down and found major support and bounced off of it, and you know, the low. I feel like the lows might have been put in on this move today, possibly. Mm-hmm. And then after the corn did that, then they kind of flip-flopped. The beans started selling off, and the corn rallied, and a lot of that was contributed to they were buying July corn, selling July beans. They were unwinding spreads that they'd put on over the last 2 or 3 days. There was some whispers of acreages numbers that was going to come out Friday from Informa, and they had raised their bean acreage a little bit, and the market is so acreage sensitive right now on what, you know, how much corn and how much beans going to be planted. You know, this was an opposite of yesterday where ADM came out with 87 million acres of corn and 67 million acres of beans, and that was friendly to beans and a little bearish the corn. And, you know, everybody was, you know, it was just a rumor number that the bean acreage was going to be bigger on Informa's report, and that created nervousness, and the market sold off, plus unwinding of spreads, and sell stops were hit late, and you know, it just kind of pulled everything down, whereas corn did try to rally on the close.
Mm-hmm. What about tomorrow morning? What are you expecting for the opens?
I really feel like corn might be up in the morning. Of course, it depends on what it does overnight. I think corn will be up a little overnight, and beans will probably, you know, trade either side of unchanged tonight. I would not be surprised that if they don't feel like the bean sell-off was overdone today, and beans could be up one or two tonight also.
Yeah. So a little reversal in the finals here.
Yeah.
Anything on the outside markets we should keep an eye on? You mentioned the Dow Jones had been falling.
Well, the Dow Jones has just continually got weaker all afternoon, and, you know, that creates nervousness. Crude oil was, it was up about $1 today, and now it's down about $1 roughly, and you know, corn and ethanol and everything is, you know, kind of tied at the hip at this particular juncture. And, you know, they're all waiting on these acreage reports. I think that's the key to it right now. And that's what's going to cause the market to get some solid direction when they come out with the, you know, intended planting acreage reports.
Exactly.
And meat sold off today. Just throw this in on profit-taking. Mm-hmm. Meats were overbought, and so the longs took profit today. They've had a nice run-up in the meats here lately.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at the Mercantile Exchange or livestock and, you know, an assessment overall on the direction that was headed, and what are you expecting tomorrow?
I would probably speculate that probably the meats will be down again tomorrow just on continued profit-taking from these lofty levels.
Anything else we ought to touch on that you're thinking about for this heading into the middle of the week?
No, I look for lows to be made sometime in the middle part of the week, and I think Friday will have all green ink on the page instead of minus signs. But everything is just so nervous. You know, the stock market looked like it had turned around, and now it's going down, and you know, the crude oil, you know, it's tied to the ethanol, but ethanol's still going up. So, you know, fundamentally, there's nothing that's changed, or technically, there's nothing changed for corn market to stay real strong because of ethanol usage. I mean, it's just, I think everybody was expecting a sell-off in the grains, and we've had a couple weeks sell-off, and, you know, we're down real close to excellent support, and everybody thinks that we're going to bounce out of here and possibly go back and make new contract highs over the next 30 to 60 days.
Okay. Is there anything that the funds are doing that that is influencing the market?
Today the funds were very small traders. They sold some corn and some beans, no large amount. Another thing today, the market was very thin and very light volume. So that, and when you have a very light volume day and hit stops, market overcorrects either direction.
Well, John, thank you very much.
Hey, I enjoyed talking to you. Have a nice afternoon.
Yep, and pick up some twigs.
Okay, will do. Bye-bye.
That's John Hester of L&M Commodities from New Markets, Indiana. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, we hope, if we're able to connect up with him on the road. But the world weather conditions, AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser is forecasting. Northern Illinois and west central Illinois to be partly cloudy with patchy fog forming tonight. East central Illinois and in northern and central Indiana, increasing cloudiness with a few scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms arriving after midnight. The south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows from 48 in far northern Illinois to 58 in the south. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms across the two states, highs 55 in the northwest to 75 in some central and southern locations. Wind speeds tomorrow, 12 to 24 miles an hour.
In agricultural news, the World Organization of Animal Health says USDA's controls to guard against mad cow disease are effective and is recommending that the U.S. be designated as a control risk nation. The category allows U.S. cattle and products from cattle of all ages to be safely traded in accordance with international guidelines. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Jay Truitt.
If countries are going to really be a part of the world community, they're going to have to actually begin to accept some of these international standards for science-based trade, and hopefully it will be the tipping point in a number of cases.
But Japan is not impressed with the U.S. OIE designation, yesterday saying it will not relax its import restrictions on U.S. beef. Currently, Japan allows U.S. beef imports only from cattle 20 months and younger. The age limit has been a point of controversy between the U.S. and Japan. USDA wants to raise the age limit to 30 months or to remove the age limit completely. Truitt says USDA will likely be pressing Japan to adopt the OIE ruling.
It's our understanding that that OIE is going to utilize a 30-month time frame, and that's the window of margin of safety that they've decided to go with. That tends to agree with what we've believed all along as well. And so countries, and Japan being the, maybe the clearest example, that have designated a different month are going to have some explaining to do if they're going to utilize a time period like that into the future.
The OIE is expected to issue a final U.S. mad cow classification in May. A bill before the Illinois legislature could help state universities increase the number of agricultural teachers. Don Johnson has more.
Andy Baker of Western Illinois University's Agriculture Department says the goal is to get 150,000 high school students taking agriculture courses. But he says that will require more teachers.
A lot of these metropolitan areas do not have agricultural programs, and with 25% of the jobs in the state of Illinois directly related to agriculture, there's certainly a lot of potential there.
Baker says the bill would provide incentive funding to universities that teach agriculture instructors. He says it would also direct the State Board of Education to ease transitions between high school, community college, and university ag programs. I'm Don Johnson.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California has announced the 15 members of the new House Committee on Global Warming. Formerly known as the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming, this new committee will have no legislative jurisdiction. Pelosi says a committee is tasked to raise the visibility of energy and climate change issues. No Illinois or Indiana lawmakers will sit on the committee. South Dakota Senator John Thune is asking the Environmental Protection Agency to review and consider a national waiver for the use of E20 fuel in automobiles. Thune says nearly half of the nation's cars already run on 10% alcohol, and upgrading to a higher blend is the next logical step.
Right now, all of our ethanol is blended into its E10, and what this would do, it would increase that ratio to E20, which we think increases the use of ethanol, expands the market for it, which will be good not only for the ethanol industry here in South Dakota, but also good for our national energy security. We're going to hit the E10 wall here before long, and we need to grow the demand, increase the market for ethanol, and this is one way of doing that, which we think makes a lot of sense, because most automobiles that can run on E10 today could also run on E20.
Thune says if EPA can grant a waiver for use of the higher blend of E20, it will make it unnecessary for him to offer additional legislation to Congress to force a change. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Well, corn and soybean farmers have until the 15th of this month to make crop insurance decisions. Todd Gleason has more on the University of Illinois' crop insurance website.
FarmDoc is the name of the website at the University of Illinois where farmers and others can find all sorts of information on the federal crop insurance programs. Once there, just click on the crop insurance link. USDA RMA set the base price for corn and soybeans during the month of February. U of I farm management specialist Gary Schnitke says they are $4.09 a bushel for corn and $8.09 for soybeans. He says it's a good news, bad news, price level.
That's exactly right. And what we're going to see this year is much higher guarantees, per acre guarantees under both, under all revenue products, CRC, RA, and GRIP. And what we're looking at, given, for example, the 406 base price, we could be seeing for a same coverage level, like a 75%, you know, over $100 higher guarantees this year versus last year. So we can guarantee revenue at much higher levels. And in fact, if a farmer picks something above 75% level, they can actually guarantee themselves a profit, which is very unusual that you can do that with crop insurance.
That's the good news. The bad news is that premiums are going to be way up.
And premiums on CRC and RA are going to be up about 40 to 50% from last year. And that's a combination of both higher base prices, and both of those products also have a price factor, price volatility in them. And this year, price volatility is much higher than last year. And what that means is that the traders on the Chicago Board of Trade believe that there's a much higher chance of prices going down than last year. So that's all built into the premiums.
The higher priced crop insurance has some corn and soybean farmers thinking they'll just skip the government sponsored safety net. Schnitke's not a fan of that approach.
I've heard a number of farmers thinking about not purchasing crop insurance at all. And, you know, if we don't have a price decline, that would be a good alternative. I guess I'd advise a person to think about a revenue insurance, not necessarily that prices are going to fall, but, you know, we can guarantee a 406 and a over $8 soybean price, and you can't do that very often. So let's consider that alternative and rest easy at night.
Farmers and others wanting to learn more about federal crop insurance should visit the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The site hosts a very easy-to-use crop insurance premium calculator for the 12 states in the Midwest and a crop insurance evaluator. It outputs the potential payouts from different plans. The site is called FarmDoc and is hosted by the University of Illinois Ag Economist. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
And you're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce sitting in today. Henry Frain, our technical director, keeping me on track and telling me now it's time for our look at the cash grain market. And joining us is Mike Anderson of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Well, question number one, how's the basis been?
Basis, nearby basis seems to be firming up just a touch. New crop seems to be getting cheaper as everyone, I think, has a pretty good book on for fall, and before we see what we put in the ground here and what the spring will give us, I think everyone's just being a little conservative.
Mm-hmm. What about processor demand?
Processor demand is, you know, the bean guys in our neck of the woods feel comfortable as well as the corn guys. It feels like, you know, the price is good and corn's moving and the basis doesn't have to do a lot of that work.
Mm-hmm. And what about farmers? What kind of prices are they looking to sell at?
You know, a lot of them have a good book on already. I mean, obviously $4 is the magic number anytime we tick that in the spot month. And I think that's kind of been the number on the new crop too, although ahead of this planting report, if people have been wanting to get things done, they're looking a little bit more serious about just not being a penny or a nickel smart here.
Yeah, gotcha. Penny wise, pound foolish type.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. What are you expecting tomorrow on the open?
You know, that's a fantastic question. As volatile as the market's been lately, it's been awful hard to predict. Wasn't good to see the beans turn go lower today after a strong start, although the corn held its own and sure could have tanked even worse. You know, I don't know. You know, it's hard to predict, and I'm probably not even going to take a step out there tonight.
All right, that's fine. Anything else you want to touch on before we get the prices from you?
No, I think that's what's going on in our neck of the woods, Jay.
Okay, how about the prices then?
Well, that tonight, corn in beautiful Delphi and Clymers, Indiana, $3.84. Price at the Rensselaer ethanol plant, $3.82. New crop prices out here tonight, $3.74 in Delphi, $3.74 in Rensselaer, and Logansport, $3.77.
Mike, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jay.
That's Mike Anderson of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. And speaking of Indiana, we'll mention again that Dave Dickey is headed over to the Johanning Civic Center in Kokomo, Indiana, where at 7 o'clock tonight, he'll be leading a panel including Mike Zuzulo and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Steve Erdman of EFG Chicago, and Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. It's another of the Agricultural Outlook panels that you have access to, and if you want to find out a complete schedule of them and get that address once again or any other information, of course, you can go to the calendar page on our Ag website, which is at willag.org, and you can also find shortly after we get off the air here and chop everything up, all of the elements from the afternoon market, closing market report program. The morning market report programs are posted on there along with the world of other information. And that is at willag.org.
Gruesome scenes from television action series like 24 are being replayed in real life.
In Iraq and Afghanistan, interrogators were using techniques that they had seen on television because there was no official doctrine about what techniques they should use.
What happens when the line between fiction and fact gets blurred? That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Well, meteorologist Ed Kieser again is forecasting a few scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms arriving in some parts of our two-state area, east central Illinois, northern and central Indiana in particular. That rain to arrive after midnight. The south will see some scattered showers and thunderstorms, and then some scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the forecast tomorrow across the two states. We'll be taking a look at the agricultural weather in just a few minutes. Dan Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the road, but we do hope to hook up with him. If not, we'll read you Ed's forecast and his agricultural comments as well in just a few moments. But first, it's coming up on 2:30 Central Time, and Jeff Bossert has your AM 580 News.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. University of Illinois trustees have officially put to rest the use of the Chief Illiniwek name, regalia, and image. The resolution approved this morning leaves only the issue of the chief's name and image being used in license to apparel makers and others. Chancellor Richard Herman is left with that responsibility, who says it should be settled within the next 6 months to a year. Trustee David Doris cast the only dissenting vote among the board's 10 voting members this morning. Meanwhile, a member of a pro-chief group says he doesn't believe supporting a lawsuit or other funding on the chief's behalf will bring the symbol back. And Howard Wakeland of the Honor the Chief Society says its members will decide their fate when the group meets next week. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley says consumers could get sunk twice in Governor Rob Blagojevich's budget plan if the state's top Democrat doesn't find a way to offer some property tax relief. Blagojevich has proposed the biggest tax increase in Illinois history to pay for his education and health care. It includes a gross receipts tax on business transactions. Daley said if those costs are passed along to consumers, it would compound the lack of a property tax relief. Blagojevich has said he's working with the state senator James Meeks to come up with a plan to use some of the proposed new revenue to provide local property tax relief. Ameren Corporation has scrapped plans for a $20 million electric bill credit as the utility company ponders layoffs and removing portions of energy assistance programs. This move comes a day after a credit rating agency downgraded Ameren's Illinois utilities. Company spokesman Lee Morris today said other cuts, including laying off employees and nearly all of Ameren's contractors, are under study right now. And a resolution urging highway officials to rename a stretch of road in Indiana for two police officers killed during a charity bike ride now goes to the state Senate for consideration. An Indiana Senate committee voted today to rename a section of Route 63 for Indiana State Police Sergeant Gary Dudley and former Lake County Police Chief Gary Martin. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
And I'm Jay Pierce. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. And joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
I appreciate you making it with us. I understand you're on the road.
I am. I'm on the road, and we actually have a cell reception, so this is good.
Outstanding. What part of the country are you in?
I am between Rawlins and Saratoga, Wyoming right now.
Uh-huh. What's weather like where you are?
Actually very warm, very nice, and actually some of this warmer weather, which has already moved in the Corn Belt Midwest, will continue to push east across the United States, and for the next 5 to 10 days, warmer than normal temperatures will cover a good portion of the country.
That's great. 75 our temperature here right now, by the way, which is outstanding, but we do have some precipitation moving in our area. What's it look like around the Midwest growing areas?
Well, we're going to see a cold front come out of the northern plains states as we get into tomorrow night and into Friday, and that's going to likely lead to some showers, thunderstorms, but it's a quick mover, so amounts of rain are probably going to be in a half to three-quarter inch range, especially favoring the northern areas of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Any problems in any of the areas that we normally look at around the world, South America, anywhere else?
Well, South America, where they're in harvest right now, they are going to see some rain. So that could cause some muddy situations and a little bit of a delay. Good news for Australia, which really needs the rain. They're going to be getting some here over the next week or two. China, they're looking moist as well.
Don, anything else you want to touch on?
Spring has not sprung yet, although it feels like it. I will say this, late March and early April will likely get stormy and colder again across most of the nation.
All right, so we'll watch for that. We'll take this day or so while we have it, though, this week, and get outside and enjoy it, and safe travels to you.
Thank you, sir.
All righty, that's Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather that you just heard from Don Day on the web. Just go to willag.org and check it out. I'm Jay Pierce.